Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 113 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Ron Gilpaka. Thanks for joining me again today on the podcast. We're going to cover a couple of things. I've got a couple of things to cover with you first, and then of course we'll bring on Wilson and we'll talk about that, some stuff with her. But before we get completely started, I'd like to thank our friends over at Vortex Canada, the Force of Optics. Thanks to our friends over at Vortex for continuing to support the podcast. We really appreciate it. You can check out all their great stuff over at vortexcanada.net. That's vortexcanada.net. And also our fantastic friends over at Saskatchewan Rivers Chapter of Safari Club International. They do a lot of great work over there, including supporting the CCFR. So they're doing great work for gun owners as well. So if you want to check out everything else that they do, you can go to saskriversseci.com, saskriversseci.com. All right. So I've got a few things I want to talk to you about first, then I'll bring on Wilson, but my chat with Tracy is only about 10 and a half minutes long, so it should be a fairly quick episode. And the reason for that is we were going to cover a sensitive topic, and there were some things that we talked about that we didn't get quite right, and that's really important to me. So I'm going to cover that myself, and I cut that out of what me and Tracy, the conversation that we had. So I'll get to that in a second. I've got a couple of other things to talk to you about real quick before we get to that. I uploaded episode 3 of CCFR Radio On the Air. That's our television show over WOW TV. And the reason I did that is just so you could have a look at what it looks like. So it looks almost identical to what we have, what you're seeing right now, except we have interviews and it's in a television format. So it's a lot faster and shorter segments. So a segment in television, like a longer segment, is about 7 minutes. So it's a completely different thing. And it's really difficult for me because I'm not especially good at this kind of stuff. And with the TV stuff, like on the podcast, it's almost like we're just sitting having a chat, right? So if I make a mistake, like, I don't care. I just keep going, right? If it's a terrible mistake, I'll do it again. But, you know, I just keep talking. With TV, if you make a mistake, it's noticeable because on TV, people aren't used to seeing that. So then you got to do it over again. And I'll tell you, it takes me to do a 5-minute segment. So if you watch that video or you know the show, it's, I come on, I tell you what's going to be on tonight. And I go, CCFR Radio starts right now. And then there's a little kind of break there. And then I come back and I do about 4 minutes on average. And man, for me to do 4 minutes and not stumble over my words or go off, because I don't script any of that stuff, right? Or go off on a tangent, it's literally 30 takes to do that. So, you know, like I say, because I'm not a really fluent, you know, speaker that I can just, stuff just rolls off my tongue. I have to work at it because I'm thinking about a lot of different things and I don't have, there's no script, right? So anyway, it's a lot of work. Let me know what you think of the show. I think I asked you last time too, because I'm thinking of doing a second season, but it is really labor intensive for me to do it. So when I get towards the end of the season, if it looks like it's valuable, right? It looks like more people are talking about what's going on with gun owners, more people are getting involved, then I'll think about doing another season. But for those of you that have WOW TV that's seen it, that's great. If you don't, there's an example of what it is, right? That episode 3 that I put up there. But if you're interested in the rest of the season, you can either get WOW TV or you can get the WOW TV app. They have an app for that. Or you can wait. So I think around 2 weeks after the season ends, I'll upload all of the episodes all at once. And you can check them out if you want. Like most of the information will probably be dated, but all of the interviews will be there. And the interviews are kind of the fun, cool part, right? You get to see lots of different people that have an effect on, have some role to play in our community. And I think it's pretty cool. I'm kind of enjoying the interviews myself. So anyway, that's why I uploaded that, so you can check it out. Next thing, there might be some changes coming to the studio. So I think I might have mentioned, because I got so much, I'm talking to the camera so much from this stupid desk that I forget what I've said. You know, there's only so much room up here. I'm not especially bright. So I'm dealing with, you know, very finite resources. So I think I did mention this last time, but you will see a change in the studio whenever I have time to do it, maybe in a couple of weeks. but I'm going to change some stuff around because we're having more people live in the studio to be interviewed and for the television show. And also I thought, hey, maybe we'll do some stuff with the podcast. Tracy Wilson will actually be in British Columbia, in the Fraser Valley, I think 4 weeks from now, something like that, somewhere in there. I don't know whether I'm coming or going, but somewhere around, yeah, about a month from now. And so I'm going to bring her in. We're going to do the television show, an episode of the television show with both of us together in the studio after I make those changes. And then we'll do a full podcast, CCFR radio podcast, where we're actually physically here. So that'll be kind of cool. But anyway, kind of another interesting inside story. And this is just for fun, right? This is not, you know, gun owner news. But there was a space in the building where the studio is. There's a space came available, but somebody else snapped it up. But I was looking at moving the whole studio. And if I have a chance, I have the landlord, you know, he knows like to watch out for new spaces and let me know. But it was all one open space with just one tiny little office in the corner. And that would be a lot better than what we have, because right now we have this physical podcast studio. We have another room where I have the physical studio where I did Gunband Canada Exposed. You know, that one, it was like the old Civil Advantage studio is what it was, right? Except torn down out of my house from back in the day and rebuilt here in a commercial building, and a green screen area. And then we have a storage room and a room where we keep all the gear. Cause it takes a lot of gear to do all the stuff that we do, right? But anyway, it's tough because there's all these separate rooms. So none of these rooms are big enough that you can make really big sets. Well, the space that I looked at kind of sparked my imagination. I'm like, oh man, you know what I could do if I had this space. So anyway, you never know. In the near future, we may see a bigger, better podcast studio than even this one. This one's fairly nice too, but I think you might see something different in the future. Yeah, funny anecdote. I know I'm going on and on, but the studio, right, that I did Gunman Canada Exposed and some update videos and stuff like that, right, that used to be in my house was evolved from the old Civil Advantage studio. And you know what's funny is that was the studio that I dreamt of, you know, like no green screen, like a nice, cool looking man cavey kind of vibe to it. And it took me so long to build that studio and to figure all that stuff out, like lighting and, you know, just how to get the better production value and better audio and all that stuff. It takes a long time because that's not my background. I never got to actually do a Civil Advantage video in that studio. By the time that studio was fully done, it was the CCFR had taken over everything that I did in video. And I'm like, I got to get it on my house now anyway, because it's been here for too long. And now it's, so yeah, I never got to do a single Civil Advantage video there before I tore it down and put it somewhere else. Okay. Just kind of some behind the scenes stuff. Next thing, National Range Day. Okay. I know we've talked a lot about National Range Day, but I just want to make sure that I'm giving you a reminder each time, to do a couple of things. So if you are a member of a gun club, make sure that your gun club is doing something to commemorate National Range Day. Ask them to publicize National Range Day. All of the resources are on the site. They can share commercials that we've created. We have banners there that they can put on their social media. Make sure that they're publicizing it, because we all need to pull together if this is going to be anything at all. If they're holding an event, great. If they're not, ask them why they're not holding that event. I've said that multiple times, but take the initiative and be that guy that kind of makes things move over at the club. And then also maybe go through your phone or go through your computer and look at any pictures of you doing stuff with firearms where you're like, hey, you know what? This was my buddy. We used to go shooting all the time. I knew some of my fondest memories. He's the one that introduced me to guns. And every time I look at this picture, I just remember, you know, all the great times we had, or just something about guns that has made a positive impact in your life. Corral those pictures up, because about a week before National Range Day, you got to start trickling those pictures and those stories out on your social media, and then sharing everyone else's that does it, and they will share yours. So for us to make this as big as we need to make it, you got to have all that stuff ready and get it out there. Okay. So anyway, just start thinking about that stuff ahead of time, and then it's not so much work to do when the time comes. All right. Now it's time to talk about what I cut out of Tracy and my conversation, because of the sensitivity, and we didn't get everything quite right. And you know, it's got to be right. So what we were talking about was the Freedom Convoy. As you guys know, when that whole thing was going on, there was a lot of misinformation floating around, right? And there were a lot of things. I mean, if you're fairly worldly and you're watching the news, the mainstream media, or you're online looking at mainstream sources, you heard things and you're like, oh my God, I can't even believe that they're even trying that. And that's not true. I can tell you right now, it's not true. And they weren't. These things weren't true. I'm not going to go through all them because that part of it is not the point. The point is, one of the claims that looks like was untrue was they claimed that the truckers were armed. And they talked about loaded shotguns. They talked about loaded firearms at the protest in Ottawa. And then when someone makes a claim like that, it leads to a bunch of speculation, right? And this is how it works. Like, this is actually quite an important conversation, because what happens is it leads to a bunch of speculation. And then you have the media talking about this speculation, like, well, you know what, if they are armed, you know, that could be a serious public safety concern. And they run with it. And then what happens is the uninformed viewer, the viewer that's not really listening with a critical ear goes, oh, the truckers were armed, right? Like, they were armed. That's something that happened. And it turns out that it looks like they weren't. So when I say it looks like they weren't, is I'll always reserve a little bit, because I could be wrong about these things because I'm not part of the investigation into the Freedom Convoy. But all that to say, the allegation was made. It was made by the Toronto Star and a journalist named Justin Leng, I think. And it was like an inside source says these truckers have loaded shotguns in their cabs. So I don't know what the point of having loaded shotguns would be at a protest anyway. Like, that would be the fast lane into discrediting your entire movement. And it turns out that the police haven't laid any charges whatsoever to do with firearms. Anyway, check out some footage. Dane Lloyd, a conservative MP, pressed the interim chief Bell from the Ottawa police whether or not there was loaded firearms there. Check it out.
The floor is yours, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Interim Chief Bell, my apologies. In Ottawa, during the protest clearing operation, were any loaded shotguns found in the trucks of protesters?
Mr. Chair, what I can indicate is throughout the protest, we did receive information and intelligence around weapons and the possession of weapons by people that either had attended or intended on intending the occupation. As a result of the clearing, at no point did we lay any firearms-related charges, yet there are investigations that continue in relation to weapons possessions at the occupation.
I guess yes or no, Interim Chief, were loaded firearms found in the trucks during the protest clearing operation? Yes, sir.
So as I indicated, Mr. Chair, there has been no charges laid to date in relations to weapons at the occupation site.
It's a clear question, Interim Chief. Like, were weapons found? Like, were loaded firearms found? Yes or no?
So in relation to no, not okay. To relating to any charges to this point.
Thank you, Chief. That's very illuminating. On March 19th, this past Saturday, a reporter, Justin Leng, wrote in the Toronto Star, quote, that police sources indicated that loaded shotguns were found in trucks at the Ottawa protest. Is this false information?
So I'm unfamiliar with the quote you're referring to, but as I indicated before, we received intelligence information, continue criminal investigations, and no charges have been laid to date in relation to firearms.
But the article claims that a police source told journalists that loaded shotguns were found in trucks during the protest clearing operation. And you have said to this committee that that is in fact not the case, that loaded shotguns were not found in trucks during the protest clearing operation. Is that the case, Interim Chief?
So thank you for the question. Mr. Chair, as I indicated, we received intelligence information. I'm unclear around the source information that was received for that article or the corroboration around it, but we have not laid any
today,
charges
Interim Chief,
to date
that,
in relation.
Can you clarify, Interim Chief, speaking on the record, not off the record, that loaded shotguns were not found in the vehicles during the protest operation? Can you confirm that?
So, yet, consistent with my answer previously, yes, I can confirm to date.
Thank you.
No charges have been laid.
If there had been firearms found, would the government have been made aware of that, as far as you know? Would the cabinet have been made aware of that if there had been firearms found?
Well, our normal course of action would be that we would conduct an investigation and charges would be laid. And as a result of those charges, there would be public notifications of those charges. We wouldn't specifically notify any level of government as to the course or the conclusion of any investigation.
But they would have been immediately aware if you had found firearms, correct?
So there would have been public notifications made.
So we had a cabinet minister, the Minister of Crown Indigenous Relations, Mark Miller, retweeted that article from Justin Ling from the Toronto Star, claiming that there were loaded shotguns found in trucks. This is misinformation, Chief, and I submit to the committee, misinformation being spread by a journalist and misinformation being spread by a member of this government. And I'll just close my remarks and give my time to Mr. Shipley. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Interim Chief.
Okay, there you have it. So that's from SECU. That's the Public Safety Committee in the House of Commons. And so a couple of takeaways, a couple of points to consider. If you have a firearm in a motor vehicle and you have your PAL with you, that firearm, if it's non-restricted, just needs to be unloaded. You can transport a firearm anywhere you want, basically, in Canada, if you're licensed and the firearm is unloaded. So there's no law breaking there unless it was loaded. Now, there are other criminal code provisions for charges if you bring a firearm to a public meeting, and that's a very serious charge. Now, I don't know whether they could charge someone for that. So I think what I'm trying to tell you is there's some intricacies here that would explain why the police, if they found a firearm, have not yet pressed charges or they haven't charged anybody for it. So it is possible that there could have been firearms there, but no one has actually been charged yet because it really hasn't been that long. It's been about 15 days or something like that, right? Now, on the other hand, so we're drawing a conclusion that there was no guns, basically, is what I'm saying. And then the police are like, I'm not going to say that there was no guns. Because if you noticed, Chief Bell was just like, I'm not going to say there was no guns, categorically. On the other side of this thing is they were quick to charge, like within a day, all kinds of people with offenses so that they could arrest them and hold them without bail, right? They had no problem finding charges of mischief and counseling. How would you approve charges on counseling mischief? Like, you'd need a lot of evidence, and that evidence isn't just sitting, you know, in the cab of a truck. So anyway, they had no problem coming up with all kinds of charges and filing them in time to arrest and detain people within 24 hours, in fact, right? So, you know, it looks like there was no guns, but, you know, there's reasons why they may not have charged anybody yet. Maybe there's something a little bit more going on with a particular situation and they're gathering more evidence. So anyway, as I said, it looks like there wasn't. But in any case, it definitely was not a good idea and it was not ethical for any journalist to run around saying, I've got a source in the police. There's loaded shotguns in the cabs of trucks. Because if there were loaded shotguns in the cabs of trucks or loaded firearms at, you know, of any variety, they would be able to approve charges right then and there because that's an offense flat out. So anyway, it looks just the media, they discredit themselves so severely, and then they whine. If you remember, even during that whole thing, again, this has nothing to do with the convoy itself. It has to do with the behavior of the media and the behavior of government, independent of what that protest was about or how long it lasted or whatever. That's a different matter. But the behavior was just atrocious. You know, the media is like, oh, we're the victims. Like, oh my God, why is everybody mad? It's like, well, you know exactly why everybody's mad, because if you're not lying flat out to people, you're actually misrepresenting things and turning them into things that they aren't. So anyway, if we want to be completely accurate, let's just withhold judgment for now. There may be firearm charges to come. We don't know that. But it's looking pretty bad for the mainstream media and certainly looking bad for liberal MPs and liberal staffers that have been running around saying that the truckers were armed. So anyway, that's what we covered. But I just wanted to make sure that it was very, very cut and dried as far as what we know now and that things can change. Just accuracy is important. All right, I babbled about that enough. Let's bring Wilson on. All right, on Skype, we've got Tracy Wilson. Wilson!
Gil Taka.
That was a big one.
That was a good one.
Yeah. I can't yell into the mic or it'll clip, right? All of a sudden it'll be go all weird and people will be like, okay, this guy's gotta calm down. Pulling a Will down. Smith almost. not quite.
Not quite. We're not there.
Not quite a Will Smith. Maybe that's how I should solve all my disputes with everyone next time I'm in the Senate chamber or, you know, someplace and people are disagreeing with me or calling me names for no good reason. Maybe that's how I should handle it, apparently.
Well, you'll go to jail.
Well, there's so many.
You won't have the privilege of being able to sit there in your tuxedo and sip martinis through the rest of the show.
And accept my award.
Right.
but yeah, it's pretty funny. It's people on Twitter. I actually enjoyed reading about that because I don't read about celebrities or follow celebrities or whatever, but that was kind of fun. It pulled me out of the whole political thing. Cause as you know, the political thing is hard. And so I'm reading about it and there's people like, oh yeah, good for him and all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, is that how we're doing it now? All right. Well, you set the rules and I'll abide by them. You know,
Anyway. They don't apply to you though. You're a horrible person. You're a gun owner.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on. So new candidates, I could talk about that stuff all day. New candidates in the CPC leadership race. Most people know about these people, but just in case, let's do a quick recap.
Okay, so as you know, we already had Jean Charest, Pierre Poilievre, Leslyn Lewis, Patrick Brown, and Roman Baybird put their names forward. We've got a couple of new people that have joined in the race. Of course, some of these may not make the threshold to be approved by the CPC. And will likely drop out eventually. But here's who we've got that's new. We've got Bobby Singh. He's a Toronto area businessman. He ran in the 2019 election, I think in Scarborough, for the Conservatives and failed to win. We've got Mark Dalton. He's a current sitting MP for Pitt Meadows and a former MLA from BC. Scott Atchison, which he's an MP now for Parry Sound Muskoka and a former mayor of Huntsville. And Joseph Borgo, he's a Saskatchewan agricultural businessman type guy, and he's the founder of Canadians for Truth. Lord knows we could use more of that. So yeah, a couple of fresh names in there, and we'll see what happens. So that brings us up to 9.
And then there were 9.
And then there were 9. Yes.
All right. It sounds like it's going to be a repeat of what was that? It was
2017. I think we had 12 or 13.
13. Yeah. 13. And yeah, and we had a couple people that were there just for kicks, which was, which is fun. But at the same time, it wastes a lot of time in the debates and stuff. And you'll have a debate that's 2 hours long and everybody has given like 4 answers for 2 minutes each, you know, and you don't really get to know anybody that way. But yeah, it is what it is. All right.
Well, we'll see. None of these have actually been approved by CPCHQ yet. So these people have put their names forward, but none have been approved so far.
Right.
So.
And the threshold is really high. So you might see a lot of them disappear.
Yes. Right.
Okay. And actually, come to think of it, on second thought, maybe that's a good thing because these people are all out there trying to sell as many memberships as possible to meet that threshold.
Right.
And that's always a good thing is get more people involved in the process because, you know, the country's future depends on it.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Next thing, the Saskatoon Police Service has got a new program to address gun and gang violence.
Yeah, this is a really cool story coming out of Saskatoon. So the police service has a new initiative called Drop Gangs. And the idea is drop gangs before they drop you. There's sort of 3 avenues here. It's a preventative tool to combat street level violence as well as outlaw motorcycle gangs. There's going to be interventions for those, you know, at risk youth or maybe those who are currently in organized crime and looking for a way out. And then, of course, public awareness, because a lot of times the public, you know, you sort of learn your information from the media in Hollywood and it's not always true. So what they've done is they've got this vehicle. It's awesome. And it's a big, massive billboard. They're going to be rolling around. They've got websites and information plastered all over it. And then, of course, there will be resources and information inside. But they're going to be rolling up on crime scenes with this thing. They're going to be rolling up on community events. They're going to roll up on outlaw motorcycle gang events. They're going to take it to warrant execution. So when they execute a warrant, they'll have this vehicle there. And of course, for educational presentations. So I don't know. I mean, it's nice to see somebody going in the direction of actually trying to combat the root causes and some preventative measures. And of course, intervention for those who may be at risk at joining or just trying to find their way out of that life of crime. So shout out to Saskatoon Police Service for all their work on that. We'll see how it goes.
Well, you know, what's interesting is if they really cared about victims and they were trying to get rid of these motorcycle gangs, they'd ban motorcycles. No motorcycles, no motorcycle gangs. Oh. Think about that. Hey.
Ha. Wow.
I have the answer. You know, I've been thinking about that. Pauly Saint-Souvier and the docs, they're onto something, and I've been wrong this whole time. So you just have to ban their bikes and their gang will just dissolve. Hey?
That sounds perfectly logical. You know, I think you are a liberal or an anti-gun.
I think owning all these guns has clouded my judgment. I think all these people were right, and I think it's never too late to turn around.
I'm going to Will Smith you if you keep that talk up. Yeah.
Oh, and you know what? And Twitter would be divided on that.
Anyway. They would be. Yeah.
Anyway. All right. You know what? I'm glad we're having a little bit of fun. I don't think that the podcasts are fun enough is my big beef. So
I think so too. Yeah. We always come on here and, you know, there's always so much going on and we got to have a little bit of fun. We're funny people actually.
Well, speaking of clowns, we have Alan Drummond and, and his ongoing war with the gun Muppet who is at, I'm going to put it up on the screen. I'll go and it is at Dickie_Paul_95 on Twitter. And Dickie Paul does a ton of research work, really, really great work. And basically he debunks or fact checks the docs and other people.
All the time.
And he does a really, really good job. And he's very thoughtful and meticulous. And so I promote his Twitter feed whenever I can. He deserves to have more followers than me. But he went after Alan Drummond for Alan Drummond's usual ridiculousness, this pious, platforming that he does. And basically he's telling everybody how to solve the problem. And how to solve the problem is always give him as an individual more authority.
Yeah, this is wild. So, of course, Alan Drummond is off his rocker about red flag laws, using a very American term. They use a lot of American style rhetoric and fear mongering in their advocacy, if that's what you want to call it. But he went off complaining that the liberals are going to, not implement proper red flag laws and that these doctors who treat people who are dangerous, are at the mercy of the system. And the gun Muppet called him right out on his dishonesty. Section 117-04 of the Criminal Code lets police seize guns any place, any time, for any public safety risk. So Drummond seems to believe that because, there's patient confidentiality, that he wouldn't be able to report somebody who was a risk to themselves or others, which is completely false, absolutely false. There's Supreme Court of Canada precedent for this, Smith versus Jones. Doctors are using it now. We've spoken to doctors who use it now. Of course, if somebody is a threat to themselves or others, that outweighs their doctor-patient confidentiality. So at the end of the day, you have to ask yourself, why is Drummond beating this topic to death, trying to get more power for him? Is it really about saving lives? Because all of what he's asking for already exists. So,
all right. So you're going to Meaford with Amanda Lynn Mayhew.
Yeah. So we're partnering once again, April 23rd and 24th in Meaford. We're doing a Women's Day, and this is exciting. We did one last fall, if you remember. That episode on her TV show, That Hunting Girl, actually aired last night on Sportsman Channel Canada as her season premiere. So we've done a Ladies' Day together last year. We're doing another one come this spring, and we'll be filming for the show again. So you can watch for it on an upcoming episode of That Hunting Girl on Sportsman Channel Canada. So always nice to see the shooting season start. It's our first event of the year.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. So yeah. a little bit of positive news and some PR there.
Yeah, it's super fun. Her events are great. I love doing these ladies' days over and above everything else. And yeah, it's always great to get out and just meet up with different people who are trying to promote the sport the same way we are.
Cool. All right. Well, I guess that's it for now. I will let you go and we will see you on the next one.
All right. Thanks for your time.
All right. That's going to do it for this episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Thanks to everybody for watching it regularly. Thanks to everybody that's sharing the podcast and getting their friends to watch it. I really appreciate that. I think we're getting around, you know, over all platforms watching or listening about 20,000 people viewing or listening to this podcast every 2 weeks, which is pretty cool in Canada. You know, for a bunch of gun owners trying to save their guns, it's pretty awesome. So thank you for that. Now, speaking of sharing the CCFR, if you're in a position to do so in these hard financial times, if you are in a position to become a member, I'd greatly appreciate it. You can find all that information at firearmrights.ca. You can donate. You can also donate directly to our legal fund to fund our case, which has gotten very expensive, but we don't want to give up. So if you can help, that's great. And if you can't right now, just share the podcast and make sure that you pay attention to how you vote. That's something you can do, and you can participate in National Range Day. That's something you can do that costs nothing. So anyway, thanks so much, everyone, for being so involved and so supportive. Really appreciate it, and we'll see you next time.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.